Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome. Today we're talking with Ellie Cordwell-Casey and we're going to be shining a spotlight on her self-employed business and the importance of spoken English. Now, Ellie is the go-to expert who's got her own business called Ellie English, and she works with anyone who would like to improve or work on their spoken English, where perhaps English isn't their first language. And she's going to explain how working with her can really transform people's businesses and open up opportunities for them. So Ellie's going to share with us some little tips and tricks on how you can ramp up your command of the spoken English. She's an English teacher and has been for quite some time. And thanks for joining us, Ellie. Welcome. If you'd like to tell us about your journey up to now and how you got started in self-employment, that would be wonderful.
So I had a child very young in life. And I went back to university when he was little and I studied linguistics and phonetics, and it was the most fascinating thing ever. I just couldn't believe this existed as a subject. I graduated, did an MA, and then I was like, oh, what do I do with this amazing, amazing, amazing degree? I did the only thing I could think of doing, which was go and train to be an English teacher. So I worked for a few years in secondary schools in Leeds, in the local area. Which was fine, but it wasn't really, you know, making me leap out of bed on a Monday morning, not by a long shot, actually. And then I met my husband and I had two more children. And I discovered really that the balance, you know, the workload of that, plus the lack of flexibility of that, plus the childcare fees, made it really impossible to continue. So I became self-employed very much through a practical need to not be working 50 hours a week in school, but also be working enough to, you know, keep the boat afloat, really. So I when I first started, so I started originally just doing tutoring in the local area. I built this little website, which amazingly, about 30 minutes after I uploaded it, I got my first student. That would not happen now, but that is honestly what happened, to the point I thought it was my brother pranking me, actually, when I got my first phone call. But it wasn't. So that was my first student. And then I worked for several years while my younger children were at home. I worked for several years doing private one-to-one tuition with GCSE students. But then when they went to school, there was this problem, because the GCSE students needed tuition in the evenings, at the weekends. That's when my kids were home. So that's when I kind of diverged a little bit and went into English as a foreign language. I have a membership that I run. I run a pronunciation course. I've got quite a big Instagram account, which is sort of growing very rapidly, and I focus on speaking skills and on pronunciation skills, because that was what I learned during my degree in linguistics phonetics classes. That's what I learned was how to teach pronunciation, and, you know, speaking skills are the natural partner of pronunciation skills.
And that's fascinating, because I think we all just take spoken English for granted. And I know when I started the podcast, I actually felt I wish that I'd had more of an accent. Now, you probably, coming from Leeds, think I do have an accent, but I was listening to all these podcasters and their voices were so distinctive. And I just thought, oh, if only I spoke a bit more
northern, or if only I had a bit of a twang or a little bit of a more characteristics, I think, in my own spoken English. And I think my own children used to sometimes say, "Mom, why are you speaking with your Instagram voice?" And I couldn't see that I had a difference in my voice, but they said, "No, you don't normally speak like that." And I said, "Oh, that's interesting that we have sort of a different persona or a voice that we, I don't know, that we subconsciously put on when we either talk to audiences or do a training or perhaps my podcast even, than how we perhaps speak when we're at home." But I really sort of craved an accent. And I know that certainly actors have the ability to be able to, you know, speak in different accents and put different voices on, etc. But it never occurred to me that there was somebody that would be teaching all of those phonetics and that sort of thing. And obviously that's yourself. Now, Ellie, where do you find your clients from? Because, or how do they find you? What's the, where do you go to do your marketing?
Instagram mainly. That's where the bulk of my clients come from. I post regularly, and I've got, you know, quite, as I said, it's quite an active account. When I first started, so just going back, so when I very originally started teaching and I got that website up and I got a student in straight away, for the first few years I got a lot of work through word of mouth and through that website. And then as as Google and as these big tech companies have become more and more powerful, it's harder and harder to make yourself heard really online. It's harder and harder for people to find you. So I started kind of being quite active on Instagram. That was a huge learning curve in itself. And it's taken probably a couple of years really to have Instagram at a point where it's bringing in a steady stream of students and a steady stream of income. It was quite a slog really at the beginning.
Well, it often is when you're self-employed and you get started getting your sort of foundations and your customer base. That is often how it is. And I think we forget that once we start to become a little bit more successful. So for the clients that you're looking to support and help with your English skills, what difference does it make? What are they looking to you for? What difference are they looking to make in their own English in order to help them in their business journey?
So quite a lot of students learn quite an old-fashioned English, and it's an English that we would understand, but you know, it's not necessarily phrases, words that are particularly things that we would use nowadays. So they feel quite self-conscious about that because they are aware of that, but they don't really know how to modernize their voice, if you like. Quite a lot of them have sort of quite old-fashioned pronunciation as well. So what I am able to do with them is to kind of just really boost their confidence, get their English up to date. You know, very often that they learn, "Oh, you can't say that. You know, English people don't say that." And they come to me and I'm like, "We say it all the time. It's just absolutely fine. Don't worry about it." And so that really, really boosts their confidence. But then the other thing that happens as well is that lots and lots of learners have learned to read English and to write English, and they haven't learned to speak English. And so when it comes to actually, you know, talking, it's really, really, really difficult for them. I'm working, you know, in particular at the moment with a man who is, you know, a really senior part of his business. But his culture and also his personality is that he doesn't use any small talk whatsoever. You know, he's here to talk about the thing and he's going to talk about the thing. And it's been very much encouraging him to say, you know, I'm not expecting you to be talking about, you know, what happened on Love Island last night for an hour, but you do just need to, you know, mention things. You know, you just do need to have that kind of that human connection. So, you know, with him, what we do in class is we literally practice small talk, and we will spend, you know, the first 10 minutes, "How are the kids? How's the weather? How was your day been? What did you do the weekend?" And you can see him kind of bristling a little bit because he's so, you know, focused on the business. But it's like, these skills are really, really important, and nobody has taught them to you. But without them, you come across as being a little bit cold, a little bit unfriendly. And you're not cold and unfriendly. it's just you don't have those language skills.
So are those the sort of ad-libbing things that we take for granted, the soft skills where you might sort of have that conversational interaction with somebody and just sort of have some side comment or just make a little joke, or, you know, it is that small talk, isn't it, that we take for granted that we know how to do it. I wonder if that in his first language, he also doesn't make much small talk. Is that possible?
Definitely doesn't. No, he definitely doesn't.
So that's his personality type. So it's almost a, you know, you've got a double whammy there where you're having to sort of introduce more conversational skills as well as getting him to do it in English, perhaps.
Yeah, it is. And that can be tricky, really, when I'm teaching somebody to do something that they can't do in their own language. And that, you know, there's definitely skill there. But, you know, it's phrases like, how are you? And like, how do you answer how are you? Well, we know how you answer how are you. But, you know, they're like, well, do they want to know how I am? And I'm like,
yes,
not really. But obviously that doesn't mean we don't care. But no, I don't really want to know how you are. I just want you to say you're fine and then we can move on. And, you know, these skills, they're not taught. They're not taught anywhere in a formal educational process.
Yeah. And so do you do one-on-one teaching with people, or do you teach in groups, or how have you set up your business, Ellie?
Yeah, so both, actually. So originally it was one-to-one only. And I do love teaching one-to-one. You know, I really love being able to get to know somebody really well and really give them that transformation. But there are limits to how many students you can take on. For example, there's a limit to how much you can charge for one-to-one. There's only so far you can push the rate up before you start, you know, not getting any more clients. So then I also have a membership, which is a group conversation class. So that runs, we have four sessions a week, and we have maybe somewhere between about 6 and 10 students turn up, and it's just spontaneous chats. And it's, you know, just tell me what you've done this weekend. Tell me what your plans are. Tell me. But also spontaneous chats isn't only talking about, you know, biscuits and cups of tea and things like that. It can be talking about the deeper things as well. So we touched a bit on the Stoics this morning, which we don't normally talk about philosophy, but we did today.
So it's very much practicing for them to be able to have a comfortable and safe environment, and for you to sort of guide and support them on that journey, for them to build that confidence. Is that part of your role, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of the real challenges of spontaneous real world conversation is that you just don't know where it's going to go. You know, it can be really hard to practice because you don't know if you're going to end up talking about the trains or whether you're going to talk about, you know, your holiday in Spain, or you just have no idea where it's going to go. And so, you know, I'm all about supporting students have the confidence to know that they can handle these you know, different types of conversations, really.
Mm. And with you doing what you do now in your self-employed business, do you feel that you have that passion now connected to what you do? Does it feel aligned where you are with your own business? Do you have, I know one of my other guests talked about a duvet flip. They love getting out of bed and flipping that duvet and thinking, gosh, I'm exactly where I'm meant to be. I love doing what I do now, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Do you feel that you're in that place now for your own journey?
Yeah, I do. I do. I really love what I do. And I feel like I almost came into this by accident, actually, because when I first made the switch to teaching English as a foreign language, most English as a foreign language teachers focus on grammar, and they focus, you know, on vocabulary building and things like that. And those skills are so important. But I'm actually not very good at teaching grammar, and I don't really enjoy it. And so for a long time, you know, I felt like a fraud. And it was during lockdown. It was during the first lockdown. And I had, you know, kids at home that I was attempting to home educate, and I was attempting to keep my business. And it was awful, awful. You know, such a challenging time. And I read somewhere, you know, about the importance of consistency on social media, but then also making it easy for yourself. So, you know, the question was really, what is the easiest thing you can do to post on social media? And mine was like, oh, pronunciation. I'm really good at teaching pronunciation. I really like it. So I made these videos, like really going into details, like how you pronounce a particular vowel or something. And people were like, nobody's teaching us this. This is what we need. And I was like, oh, really?
So you stumbled on something just in that period, yeah, and suddenly... And I think that that's an important part for the self-employed journey, is that we often fall into things by accident. Certainly I made Pocket PA, you know, by accident. I didn't sort of make it for anyone else. It was literally helping my own daughter. And you sometimes find yourself in these positions where you stumble across something and suddenly it lights you up and you start to realize. And then, as you say, you were experimenting on your social media with some different things because they aligned with you, and suddenly you realize that they were a big hit. And it's just like, oh my goodness, that's an aha moment, isn't it, that you suddenly stumble on something. And I think that's the importance of us trying things, not necessarily, you know, following the crowd and looking at, you know, all the different reels that are going on. Think about really what lights you up, because once you recognize that and you start sharing that, you'll attract people to you that enable you to be able to do more of that good thing, I think. And was that sort of a turning point for you, that you started to get more confidence in your own ability to be able to know what aligned with you and to be able to start sharing that sort of content?
You know, that realization. And, you know, I think, I don't know, I certainly have the idea that's sort of been ingrained in me that things have to be difficult and you have to work hard. And you do have to work hard, and some things are difficult, but, you know, ultimately the very core of what you do shouldn't be difficult. You know, it's not to say that I leap out of bed every single day, but, you know, it should come easy to you, and it should be. And the idea that it can be fun as well, you know, that your business or the core of your business is absolutely, you know, should be enjoyable. If it's not enjoyable, you know, just go back to the office, just go back to work, you know, don't do it.
Yes, I mean, it is your self-employed business, so it means that you can decide what the boundaries are, what the rules are for your working space, and exactly what your work wants to look like. And I think that that's the beauty of self-employment, and that's what attracts so many of us to it, that we can design it exactly what suits us best. But sometimes there's a little bit of hit and miss, actually, you know, navigating our way to there. It's a squiggly line. It's not a direct, you know, route to knowing exactly how you want to set up your business. And I think it's important that we allow ourselves that space to be able to find our way to what really fits with us. And I know you describe yourself as an introvert. I also sometimes feel a bit like that. I feel like I'm an introvert having to do an extrovert role often, because you are front facing with your self-employed business. Can you just explain a bit more about how you overcome that sort of feeling of introversion? Because I know I have my own challenges with that. I would love to hear how you deal with that.
Gosh, I think it's always a work in progress. I mean, like, one of the symptoms of it for me is exhaustion. You know, I get really tired. If I'm giving too much of myself, I get really, really tired. So I have to kind of have limits, really, on how many students I'll take on, for example, which is another issue with the one-to-ones. But, you know, when I was younger, and still actually in certain situations, I am very, very shy, and I do find it very difficult. You know, something like this, where I'm allowed to talk about myself, is very easy, because you've given me permission, and so it's easy. But it, you know, I find speaking in small groups where I'm not the teacher, I find that very, very hard, like knowing when, navigating all of that. But it gets easier, you know, it does get easier. And you just do have to practice, really. You just have to practice, and you just have to make a decision, really, that yes, you might feel shy, and yes, you blush, and I blush every flaming time I speak to people, every time. I'm like, yeah, hi, I'm blushing. But you just have to go for it. You just have to go for it, you know. And, you know, you can't, everybody has something about them that is a challenge for them. And, you know, being an introvert, you know, yes, you have to manage it. Yes, you have to look after your energy. But ultimately, it's not an excuse. And you are going to have to just go for it sometimes and risk. I mean, what's going to happen anyway? Like nothing's even going to happen, is it? You're not going to say the wrong thing because nobody's made the rules about what's acceptable to say.
I think it's about having that sort of inner confidence and light that, you know, I'm interested when you said, you know, you get exhausted. I sometimes find I'm also peopled out sometimes. And I just think, oh, goodness, you know, I've interacted with so many people today. I just need to step back and just regroup and put your energy levels up. And I think that it's difficult to give ourselves permission to do that because we know that we are the breadwinner. And if we're not working, we're not earning. So we feel this ongoing pressure to keep connecting with people and, you know, never knowing where that next conversation that might create the next opportunity. So, you know, we can't let the foot off the gas, but we do have to regroup and recharge our batteries because there is only one of us. And you're absolutely right that we can't say the wrong thing. You know, clearly we're not going to obviously be rude or anything like that, but we do have to protect our own, you know, energy levels and our boundaries and things. And I think sometimes that we forget that, and it is vital for our own self-care to be able to put that necessary boundary in place with people when we are feeling a little bit overwhelmed with stuff. And I think for introverted people that can come sooner rather than later, whereas the gregarious outgoing extroverts, you know, in the self-employed world, they can seem larger than life, and I sometimes envy them massively. They seem to have boundless energy and charisma, and they draw people in, you know, because of that. And I sometimes think I'm often a watcher and I'm sitting on the sidelines observing everything and noticing, but I'm not always either blowing my own trumpet or being able to get out there in front of people because of that lack of confidence or, you know, just that introverted part of my personality. But it doesn't make us any less. And I think it's important that we recognize that we are all different in these things. And it's perfectly fine to be exactly who you want to be in your own self-employed business. That's the whole point. You've designed it and created it, you know, to help others. And you can be exactly who you are. And that's good enough. Is that something that you recognize also?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think the world is set up really, isn't it, for the extroverts, and I think you can feel less than if you allow yourself to. But it is just a different way of being. But also, like, changing the subject slightly, you can use technology to help you a lot as well. So, you know, at any one time I've got several people, you know, in an email funnel, or I've got people watching videos that are on YouTube. I'm not there, I'm not performing for them. They were recorded, you know, whenever. So you can be very active online without actually being there as well.
I think that's very true, actually. And being visible, we think that we have to be visible everywhere, and, you know, being seen, particularly on social media and in everybody's feeds all the time, otherwise they're going to forget us or whatever. However, there are some really clever ways that we can become front of mind, you know, through scheduling, through batching content, and, you know, being careful with how we choose to post our stuff. And we actually don't have to show up as often as it might seem, and yet we could still seem as if we're very present and out there and in front of people. And as you say, pre-recorded things and omnipresence campaigns, those sorts of things do allow us to be able to show up in people's social media feeds without actually having to constantly be on. I think there's an element of consistency that we need to make sure that we aren't just sort of stop, start. So people are like, oh, I saw her everywhere and now she's gone. I think it's much more important to have that drip feeding of consistency. But I think if we're clever and using that technology, like you say, to schedule things and to plan ahead and to be organized in making sure that we show up through scheduling and that sort of thing, that's a really great tool when there is only one of us. And I'm a huge believer in automation and leaning on those things to be able to support our small business journey, because we can't do... Well, we can do anything, but we can't do everything all at once. And it's important to recognize the things that can leverage our time and that we can outsource to be able to get that desired effect of being able to connect with people regularly. And I think that that's a really great point about using technology. really come up for you on your journey that you can recollect and would like to share?
Oh, there's been loads. I think early days when I started coming online, I would say yes to everything. So, you know, every exam board, every learner's need possible, you know, so I'd be doing all of it. So I'd be just be juggling so many different things. I couldn't keep up. And so that was a lesson that I had to learn. But there's also been, you know, big things as well. And it feels like there's been quite a lot of big things that have just been completely out of my control. So things like, you know, the obvious one is the pandemic. But I've had other sort of personal issues as well. So, you know, for example, I did have, you know, this time a year ago, I had a lot of students in China. Then the Chinese government changed their laws, and it meant that tutors who weren't based in China were no longer allowed to teach in China. So, you know, the online market closed completely. So that was, you know, quite a big shock because I was getting quite a lot of my income from there. I did have a membership at that point, but it was, you know, minuscule, you know, really tiny numbers. I then lent onto the membership and really built it up and put so much work in. The majority of the members were Russian or Ukrainian. It hadn't been intended that way. It's just how it happened. Obviously, at the end of February, the membership collapsed again. It didn't completely collapse. There were still people there, but, you know, incredibly upsetting because you get to know people as well. And, you know, from a personal point of view, it's incredibly upsetting. But then also from a business point of view, you're like, oh, right. I've just been building that thing for a year and it's just gone like that.
And I think that's the nature of self-employment, isn't it? That we don't know where the next curveball is going to come from. So that's a really great example. You've had two really big sort of global sort of impactful things with the COVID pandemic that took a lot of your students or most of them out of China. So you had to sort of readjust and work out what your next strategy was. And then, you know, you could never have foreseen the Russian and Ukrainian situation. That was another global impactful situation, which is knocked on, you know, to all of us, but you specifically as those were your students. But how do you find do you ever feel like giving up, or is it just one of those, oh my goodness, another thing I've got to sort of work around?
Well, actually, so late February, early March, when, it, you know, the very beginning of the war, yes, I did. And I literally started looking for jobs. And actually, that was the best thing I could have done, because in looking for jobs, I was like, oh, no, I don't want one of those.
That's so interesting. So you actually had that conversation with yourself and thought, you know what, I'm going to perhaps look at getting some regular employed work again, and just dipping your toe into that water was enough to repel you back to think, you know what, I'm going to make this work.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
And at the time, I mean, it was awful. It was genuinely awful because, you know, the thing is, when you're teaching as well, you get to know your students so well that, you know, it felt heavy, you know, in my heart, it felt heavy. But in hindsight, it was actually, I don't know what the right word is for it really, but in hindsight it was quite a pivotal moment, and in a positive way, because it really made me appreciate exactly how much work I've done, exactly what I've built up, exactly what I can achieve if I just keep going.
So there was a silver lining that you were able to pull out of that, and I think that that's something that we could also put down to the spirit of being self-employed. I think we have an innate ability to be able to pull good things out of, you know, awful situations or challenges that a lot of people might crumble under. And I think that that does show resilience and tenacity and resourcefulness of self-employed people. So that's hugely commendable that you were able to do that from that point. And it, you know, it looks as if you've just gone on from strength to strength since then. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, it does really. So, I had been about to launch a pronunciation course, and it was kind of the most expensive offering I'd ever put out. It's most intensive. It was the biggest thing. And then, you know, my audience kind of collapsed and it was terrible. But actually all that happened in the end is I just had to delay that launch by 3 weeks, which at the time just felt like the longest time, but you know, 3 weeks is nothing. And then launched it. And that was my most successful launch ever. And that launching that pronunciation course, and it did make me see myself in a slightly different light, really, that actually I can be really successful here, and I can, you know, financially be well rewarded, and you know, really have a job that I am really good at, that I really enjoy. You know, those things are there for me, and it was a very exhausting, exciting, exhilarating time, really.
Ellie, that's lovely. And that's a really, really great place to leave it, I think, on that high note. So thank you, Ellie, for sharing. That's really kind of you to open up and share all those things. If our listeners would like to find out more about you and to connect, where's the best place that they can find you?
Well, there's two best places, really. So there's Instagram, where I am at Ellie English Teacher, all one word. That's where I kind of post my daily videos. That's where I'm most active in stories. I've also got my website, which is www.ellieenglish.uk, which kind of gives you more information about me and some of the other services that I offer as well. But the best place for chatting with me is Instagram.
Lovely. That's great. And I'll put all of those links in the show notes. So that's really great. So that's a wrap for this week's episode of the Earn More, Stress Less podcast. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode, and have a fabulous day and week ahead, whatever it is you're doing. Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.